Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, February the 15th, 2022, and the call-in number is 347-857-3293. Again, if you want to call in, either to listen or chime in, 347-857-3293. This is Ralph Winter. What's happening? And our program is An Anatomy of Oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. It's an anatomy of the American capitalist system, which some have called an organized system of robbery. And tonight, you're going to be listening to people help analyze American capitalism even when it's supposedly legal. And we're talking specifically about the inequalities of legalized, I said legalized, marijuana. And what we're trying to analyze is decriminalization to reparation. Is the promise true? I'm going to try that one more time because I fluffed it. Decriminalization to reparation. Is the promise true? So without further ado, I want to get to our host, Ralph Winter. What's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. And many people have fluffed that concept, decriminalization to reparations is the promise true. And we have information on the real side for you this evening, as we always try to do. For if the truth is going to make you free, the truth will make you free. It would appear that the truth is in reverse. And we have to turn that around, because we are in great trouble. But everything that changes stays the same. Capitalism is death. American capitalism is death on steroids. Well, we both have it this evening. And so we have to get to the truth, to the reality of this situation, and understand something. American capitalism marches on. No matter what the program pretends to be, it is the program of the American capital, the American system. And we have to dig into that to get truth to the public, because that is our agenda. Because if we've always said, if the people know the truth, they will make the right decisions. But where's the truth? And this evening, we have someone who was here before to give us great information. And you're going to love it. It'll be something to remember. Sister Betty's going to tell us about the guest this evening.
What we want to say is, put March the 2nd in your calendar at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And you're going to hear more about the inequalities of legalized marijuana from Alonzo of the Equity and Transformation in Chicago, Columbayi, who's been on our program before, International Yahoo, Tyler Williams, Winter Haze and Cannabis Safety and Quality, Ron Birch of the Missouri Green Party, with Susan Armstrong as the moderator. Again, put March 2nd at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, in your calendar. I assume you can go to the Green Party website and it'll be announced there. I assume you can put the title, Inequalities of Legalized Marijuana, in a search engine, and this will pop up. I'm sure more of the people who are joining us as guests this evening will tell you more about a Zoom that you really need to attend. If you want to understand the relationship between capitalism and racism, the study that we're discussing this evening will help really make it clear why we call our program An Anatomy of Oppression. But before we get to that, we always pay homage to our comrade who has transitioned, Sister Lynn Stewart, with poetry. We open with poetry, and down the line, we try to mellow out the evening with more poetry.
And as our dear Sister Lynn told us a long time ago, one of the perfect examples of capitalism is the drug business, legal and illegal. But without further ado, Professor Louis, give us your wisdom, give us entertainment with education. Professor Louis, your microphone is open.
Okay. Doctor, I'm getting kind of ill. Hold on now, did you pay your bill? I'm dying, doctor, help me if you can. Dying's not covered in your insurance plan. Mama's little baby, sick. She called for the doctor, quick. He came with the powder and the pills. You know he wasn't slow with the bills. So Mama had to hustle and to work, work, work to pay the MD. He was a jerk, jerk, jerk. Working overtime hour, hour after hour, Mama started losing all her power, power, power. She fell down in a sick, sick bed, moans in her bones and her head, head, head. The doctor never came day to day after day because he knew that Mama couldn't pay, pay, pay. Soon the whole family was just about through. It could happen to me and you and you and you. Doctor, doctor, I'm getting kind of ill. Hold on now. Did you pay your bill? I'm dying, doctor. Help me if you can. Dying's not covered in your insurance plan. So now is the time for the good, good fight. Health is not a privilege. It is our right. Insurance companies making money, money off your mama, papa, and your honey, honey, honey. Big drug companies richer than rich. They sell you a pill if you got a little itch. The hospital business bigger and bigger. They take what you make. There's nothing that they give you. So now is the hour. Now is the time. You need it for yours. I need it for mine. Free health care for every single one, young and old, under the sun, from the great-grandma to the baby's potty. It's got to be the same thing for everybody. Doctor, doctor, I'm getting kind of ill. Hold on now. Did you pay your bill? I'm dying, doctor. Help me if you can. Dying's not covered in your insurance plan. If you're sick in England, you're sick in France, no one checks the pocket, the money in the pockets of your pants. If you're sick in Japan or China, too, not a single body's making money off of you. Right up in Canada, plain to see, everybody's going to the doctor for free. The only rich country where you got to pay, it's right here in the USA. And it's kind of funny but sad to tell. Nobody makes money off of keeping us well. Nutrition, exercise, health education. Give the people the real information. Clean air, clean food, clean, clean water. Make the government do what it ought to when all of us together are paying the bill. Nobody will profit by us being ill. The whole medical system, quick and slick, it only makes money by us being sick. So we got to talk to everybody we meet, people at home, people on the street. Do what you need to, do what you can. We need a single-payer national health care plan. Love up the children, hug them up and kiss them. They need a single-payer national health care system. Old people getting older everywhere. They need single-payer national health care. So do what you need to, do what you can. We need a single-payer national health care plan. Doctor, doctor, I'm getting kind of ill. Hold on now. Did you pay your bill? I'm dying, doctor. Help me if you can. Dying's not covered in your insurance plan.
Well, thank you again, Professor Louis, because that says it all. And along with saying it all, once talking to our dear sister Lynn on the inside, and she says, well, there is no health plan for incarcerated people, but how can we expect a health plan for incarcerated people when you people on the outside do not have a health plan? And so, without further ado.
Well, you know, we always honor our political prisoners because most of the freedoms we're standing on were fought for by our political prisoners, many of whom are still in the death camps. And New York City, Jericho, never fails to come to our rescue with a report and an update to keep us in the know about our political prisoners. Sister Ann Lam, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph. Always an honor and a privilege. Great poem there by Professor Louis. Absolutely true. Well, we have some halfway decent news. Leonard Peltier, as you know, had contracted COVID, of course, was not taken to an outside hospital, of course, was not granted clemency by Mr. Biden, but he has survived the COVID so far. He is recovering. He suffered some dehydration. He didn't have enough liquids to drink. But apparently, other than that, he's out of his quarantine and hopefully improving. That is all I can say at the moment. That was the latest news from one of his many supporters. And I also wanted to say that our dear friend Kamal Siddiqui is going to have his 69th birthday on Saturday. And the Free Kamal Siddiqui Now campaign, of which Jericho is a part, is hosting an event for him on Saturday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. It is an online event. You can go and register. Should be really good. Going to have Daruba Bin Wahad and Naima Bangeli and Russell Schultz III and Ashanti Omawali and Spirit Child and Sophia Dawson and Yane and Dingo and Zaid Malama and Ikwe Kioni Siddiqui and other folk as well. Should be a really excellent event. And it is up on jerichoandy.org. You should register ahead of time. It is also a fundraiser, so we are asking people to please donate a little bit of money. Kamal will be 69 years old on Saturday and has been in prison since 2002. So that's been quite a while. And as people probably know, the reason that Kamal Siddiqui is in prison is because he absolutely refused to betray his principles and betray the mother of one of his daughters by getting her to leave Cuba so that the U.S. could capture her somewhere. And when he refused to do that, he was told, then you will probably die in prison. And he said, so be it. But of course, we do not want Kamal to die in prison. He is also not well, another one of our elders who is suffering various ailments. He has hepatitis C, sarcoidosis of the liver, and several other things. And he is in very, very horrible, horrible prison, the so-called Augusta State Medical Prison is really and truly a death camp. I have been collecting articles about this prison from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They go back several years. They are extremely detailed. The horrible pictures of what goes on there, you know, bloody bandages on the floor, the operating room, they're swatting away flies and mosquitoes because there's garbage right outside. It's really, really disgusting. And not only that, the former prison doctor who has been there for a while and certainly probably knows Kamal well, he sued the prison for their total lack of medical care for his patients. He is, of course, no longer there. They quickly got rid of him because they said he was a whistleblower. He was providing some of the information to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But he certainly did the right thing, and very rare, I think unprecedented, to hear of a prison doctor taking that kind of position. So, you know, Kamal's in pretty dire straits, and we really want to try to bring him home as soon as possible. So I would encourage people once again, go to jerichoandy.org, register for the event, donate a little money, no donation is too small, and come and enjoy the event on Saturday night. Also, Joe's got an email about Eric King. As people may know, Eric King is a young anarchist prisoner who has been treated horribly inside prison. So this says, Eric is over the moon having his mail back and hearing from his friends, which he hasn't been able to do for quite some time. It's making him feel so strong and ready to win in March. He has an upcoming trial in March and end his 3.5 years of hell. Sitting indefinitely in segregation can really throw a wrench in the trial prep machine. It wasn't until 1.5 years in that he even had his eyeglasses. He survived 18 months of communication restrictions. He survived so much strung his way. But beyond survival, he is ready to go to trial. He wanted to send everyone love and thanks, and he is thrilled to hear from everyone. So people can now write to Eric King, and you can find his address on either jerichomovement.com or jerichony.org, and that would be great. He's very happy to be getting these letters. And also there is a call out to help the Civil Liberties Defense Center to help support his legal defense efforts. So I'm very happy to hear that news about Eric. He has been treated extremely horribly inside, and that's what this trial is about. And he was beaten up by a CO who then said that Eric attacked him. You know, the usual nonsense, you know, as a nice
man.
His fist with my
I
face.
Think,
encourage everyone to go to the Jericho website. It has more information than we can deal with this evening. But what we have to understand is that no matter how terrible the conditions are in the death camps that hold our political prisoners, it is a shame on those of us on the outside that we have done so little for those who have given up everything for all of us. It is a condemnation of our society and ourselves. But let us move on to the specifics of this evening's program. Sister Betty.
We have several guests tonight. We're going to intersperse our regulars with our guests so that we get everybody in, and we're extending the program. But for many people, regardless of whether you believe in additional substances or not, this is a classic case of legalized robbery and racism. And it's very important that you hear this discussion. I also want to commend some of the members of this group who are in the Green Party, because the Green Party has been fighting for single-payer health care since its inception. And so I'm going to open up the mics of one of our guests this evening, recognizing that there are others, but Dolores and Henry and Gwen, we've definitely got to hear your report. So without further ado, I believe I'm opening up the mic for Brother Wahid from Chicago, 7138.
Your microphone is open, 314, the first three numbers, and 7138, the last four numbers. Your microphone is open.
Thank you. It's Susan Armstrong, that's correct. I'm the moderator for the March 2nd at 7 p.m. Central webinar about inequities in legalized marijuana organized by the St. Louis Green Party. This is the billion dollar marijuana market should have room for everyone. But going from decriminalization to medical and to recreational use has resulted in a patchwork of dangerous inconsistencies among the states. The weaponization of marijuana laws against communities of color leave victims incarcerated and economically incapable of high non-refundable application fees and licensing lotteries for dispensaries growing, transporting, and processing legalized marijuana. Cannabis users are vulnerable to pesticide use by industrial growers, and I'm beginning to think that the best science for growing and processing marijuana, we might have lost that expertise to incarceration, that the historic growers and processors and people who apply it to medical use before it became legal in Missouri most likely were arrested and incarcerated. So again, what's the best science? What I found in organizing this webinar that's going to occur on March 2nd at 7 p.m. hosted by the St. Louis Green Party, at the barriers that are obviously appearing to be, again, systemic racism. They're not from the era of slavery or even Jim Crow, but these are happening in these laws that are happening in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and on into 2022. Thank you. Has Alonzo joined us?
Could you tell the last four digits of his cell, please? What's the last four digits?
Hello?
Susan, can you give us the last four digits? Well, I'm just going to open up some of these mics and see if we have him on. 7658, your line is open. 9811, your mic is open.
I think that people in this digital age... Okay.
Okay.
I'm somewhere indigo. I came to your show last week, and I definitely enjoy your show. It's enlightening, and I definitely love Professor Louis on his poems and spoken words. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. I believe that was 7658, correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay, 9811. Did you want to comment on the most recent statement? 9811.
Yes, as I say, in this digital age, we have lost part of our brain. And I remember in the early 60s when we were organizing, there were those folks who knew the number of every known political person. And when we decided we were going to have a demonstration, we could call on people. What is this? Or whose number is this? And we could get the answer.
All right.
And today, most of us don't know our own cell phone, and I don't know mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Alonzo is 773, area code for Chicago, 773. And the last four digits are 8917. So Alonzo of Equity and Transformation Chicago is 773.
Yes. I don't see him on as yet, but when he does get on,
keep going.
We do have to keep going. If you'll give me that number, the last four digits, one more time. As soon as we see it, we'll open his mic. What were the last four digits?
The last four digits are 8917.
Yes, we have that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we do have it, but I had the number correct, but I don't see him on our studio screen as yet. As soon as it pops up, 8917, we will open it up. But right now, we want to move on. We've got Sister Dolores, who's our news announcer and educator announcer, and we'd like to open her mic so she can give us an update before we proceed on.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, and we're waiting for your report.
Okay. I want to mention that the National Urban League has released their 2021 State of Black America, and they're labeling it the new normal, diverse, equitable, and inclusive. It highlights the urgency of repairing structural flaws that have been unmasked by the COVID-19 epidemic. It focuses on ending the three pandemics of racial inequality, healthcare, economics, and public safety. The Urban League's report reveals the strong resistance to the status quo and the demand for racial justice that's growing more and more intense. The report also charts a path forward as the country is at a crossroad of racial reckoning. Marc Morial, the Urban League CEO, has stated that, quote, one path leads backward to the old normal, which is a return to the marginalization, discrimination, and segregation that left black and brown Americans exceptionally vulnerable to the deadly virus and economic desperation. The other path leads toward a nation where the police approach the community they serve as allies and collaborators and not hostile combatants, where every citizen has equal access to the ballot box and where fatal complications in pregnancy are just as rare for black mothers as for white mothers, and where the value of a home is not determined by the race of its owner. Muriel also stated in the report that it makes the case for dismantling structural racism, which includes identifying and repairing the cracks in our national foundation, which will result in more resilience and dynamic institutions that expand opportunity for everyone. So finally, the 2021 State of Black America highlights innovative solutions for overcoming racial barriers. So I would highly recommend that everyone get a copy of this and read it. It's a very important report. National Urban League.
Will you the name of that report one more time by the Urban League?
It's the 2021 State of Black America, labeling it the new normal, diverse, equitable, and inclusive. Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that, Dolores Cox. And if you've been paying attention to the news, as I stated in the beginning, it would appear that the truth and justice are going in reverse. Look up Texas voting. What would you call it? The voting laws, the voting situation in Texas. We're losing the vote, not only in Texas, but across the country. We're going in reverse. Sister Betty.
And the decision where our dear old brother, Clarence Thomas, had the deciding vote in the Supreme Court against Alabama is an example of the betrayal by the black misleadership class.
And we're talking about the ministers. We're talking about those political leaders who told us their reason for supporting Clarence Thomas was because it was time to make sure that we had a black presence on the Supreme Court. And we have to hold those people accountable. Our president, Joe Biden, the beloved Ted Kennedy, the ministers, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, those people who supported Clarence Thomas. Well, I can only go to Malcolm X, who said, chickens come home to roost. Well, we must deal with those people who made this situation possible. But I'll stop there. Sister Betty.
I want to reinforce what Sister Dolores just said. The Unity and Struggle Organization, they sent out an email, and it's called the National Unity Initiative by the National Black Movement, NBLM. And what they said is black workers were especially hard hit by manufacturing job losses associated with globalization between 1977 and 2020. They said black workers' share of manufacturing jobs has fallen. Black workers made up 12.3% of all workers, but only 10.2% of manufacturing workers. In raw numbers, the data means that black workers lost 646,500 manufacturing jobs between 1998 and 2020. It's a 30.4% decline in black manufacturing employment. So many of these displaced black workers found jobs in the service industry, which typically pays significantly less than manufacturing for comparatively skilled workers. So regardless of what it looks like on television that shows us everywhere, having cars, having houses, this is not the true picture of America. Without further ado, we want to move on. We have another person who always gives us an update in the house. Brother Henry, your mic is open. And thank you, Sister Dolores.
Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph and all of our participants. I'd like to share with the audience tonight a quick review of Professor Eddie Glaude's State of Black America aired on MSNBC, February 9th, on Zelina's program. Eddie Glaude is a distinguished department head of African American Studies at Princeton University in New Jersey. And he talks about, in effect, what I would regard as retrenchment post-1877, in which, after the Civil War, there was an effort to re-enslave black people. And to a large extent, we're going through that now. They're going back on the efforts at equality. And we see efforts to restrict discussions of racism, bias, privilege continue. Attacks against CRT, African American history and culture, present conditions, high incarceration. And he offers a good summary of many of the topics discussed here. The betrayal resurrected after 1877, and it continues to this day. Slowly but surely, our rights are being eroded. and there are severe attacks on voting rights. And the effort is to disenfranchise as many black people as, in as many areas as possible. The racists are afraid of the browning of America, and this is being reflected in Trumpism and the attacks by the Republican Party. And so I would urge people to go to Zelina's show on the 9th of February and review Professor Eddie Gloud's assessment of our condition in the United States. He's very astute, and he speaks in plain language, and he tells the truth. So I would encourage folks to, again, check out Zelina, MSNBC, December 9th air date for this program. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that, because as you understand and as we all understand, we must understand and know the truth. And it is tragic what has happened from our enemies and from our so-called friends. And there's so many things that we can say, well, it is our fault. But as Queen Mother said, we cannot blame the victim. But we have to stop practicing the role of the victim. And one of the ways we can do that is, we've always said, support our political prisoners so that they are not victimized. And point the finger to those who are supposed to be telling us the truth, who are instrumental in giving us people like Clarence Thomas, false leaders, as Glenn Ford told us about the misleadership class. And remember Glenn Ford. When you hear that name, look up every word that he said and printed. It would be an education. Educate ourselves. Sister Betty.
All right, we want to go to another part of the country. I believe Brother Dennis is in the house, and we also see Joel and Gwen, so we're asking them to hang in. Brother Dennis, your mic is open.
Uhuru, and good evening, everybody.
Uhuru, freedom. Good evening.
Want to first off say thank you for allowing us to come on to the program as frequently as you do. And I want to thank Professor Louis for his always unbeleaguered poems of truth. I see a problem, a major, massive problem. We want to continue to amass or assimilate into a colonial structure. We want to do things the way that the colonizer does things, and we want to make successes out of things that basically will not be successful. I say this in light of, we see the restrictions of voting rights. I've listened. We see the restrictions that now are dominating our their institutions, not ours, of education, disavowing books, disavowing histories, and disavowing our intellects. It is a shame that we consistently want to assimilate in the colonial mode of production. I say this, that we all must have a serious change of mind. In the 1960s, African people were in struggle everywhere, in Africa and abroad. As we often say to our party, and I'm part of the African People's Socialist Party, and I'm reading from One Africa, One Nation, and this book was edited by Chairman O'Malley Sotelo. The 1960s was a period when anti-colonial revolution was the main trend in the world. All the manifestations of the African Revolution were regarded by progressive thinking people around the globe as a leading force in this trend, whether we were inside the United States or in the Caribbean or throughout the continent of Africa. Indeed, too many, the bold and courageous front of the African Revolution taking place inside the U.S. represented a political and ideological vanguard that had the power to threaten the very foundations of imperialist supremacy from within its own borders. As a result of the struggles of the 1960s, African people, like many oppressed peoples around the world, were extended formal, legal, democratic rights. Now remember this, that this is what we're talking about tonight. Official civil rights were granted to Africans in the U.S., and formal flag independence was given to a number of African states in the Caribbean and Africa itself. It was not long, however, before it became obvious to the African masses that democratic rights and independence granted to us by imperialism afforded us no general improvement in our living conditions. Even as casual glance around the world reveals that in many ways our conditions of existence were worse now than when we lived under direct white colonial rule. This is as true today for Africans captive in the United States, Europe, and the Caribbean as it is for all of us living in normally independent countries throughout Africa and what we think is independence in the United States. How did this promise of the 1960 degenerate to the dismissal reality that Africa and the majority of African people everywhere are confronted with today? What can we learn about the struggles of the period represented by the 1960s that can help us to liberate and unite African and African people today? These are the questions before us and the questions that this book attempts to address. Now, I say this as a precept, that we're not doing, I know we've got to do this unitedly. I'm saying this is an outcry. We need to stop and drop and roll away from what we want to assimilate into when it never had us in mind. It is a mode of production for the ultra-capitalists, the elite, the people that dictate everything that we get, everything that we are educated by, and then they throw out these distractions. Of you and I, we chase from one fire to the next fire. We do not culminate together, people. I'm saying Green Party, any other party, whatever party. And then they use the modes of petty bourgeoisie, neo-colonizers, such as the NAACP, these other institutions, the Urban League, others that would distract you and I that if we just do this, if we just go along to get along, that things will get better. We can never get better in a system that has never had any heart or love or care for you. And we must begin to unite constructively for ourselves, because nobody can do for us what we need to do for ourselves. If that means that, so be it, Clarence Thomas, you know where he stands. So be it that even when you see a ball player that thinks he's successful, then you see them cut him off at the knee. And you say that then they blame him for, it's his fault for being a cripple. Then how foolish are we? How foolish do we continue to want to be? Do we want to die out? I'm saying this is an out-call, out-cry. It is so true. Do we want to die out like this? We look at all of our political prisoners. I think that the sister that was on before, she was true. It was true. The old growers of weed, the old connoisseurs are all locked up, right? And then that opportunity that they say that is available to all to get a growth lab or to get one of these dispensaries, that is not for us. These things are set up and institutionalized in our community with disease chemicals that kill us. And then when you get caught using it, you still what? You're getting the Joe Biden bill. You're getting the same treatment, and then we want to run around like we're surprised and shocked and awed because the same things have never changed, and they don't change, and they won't change because we're not making that change. We're the ones sitting around waiting on them to change when they never had the heart or any kind of, if you say dignity or soul or consciousness, they're nihilists. You're dealing with a nihilist group of people who came into this country, called it America, and stole it and murdered everybody up in here. I'm speaking of the indigenous people. These are the same people that went over to other countries, and especially in motherland Africa, and stole the people and stole the resources, right? We're that mode of production. We're the ones that keep it cycling. We're the ones that keep the money going for them. We need to stop, pull away, stop buying Nike, stop buying all this crap, stop buying the television, stop buying everything, and start investing in ourselves. It will never change if we want to continue. And I say this, and I say this in all earnest, because you see the rebellion in our children. And you wonder, well, is there something wrong with our child? Our child sees the negative aspects of colonialism. But we are not guiding our child properly because we keep wanting to live under colonial duress, terrorism. That's what we're living under, but we want to be a part of being terrorized. What's wrong with us? It's an ill that we live under. Self-inflicted in some cases, because some people get to a point where they're so damned educated, they got the PhD and the DDA and all these other things, and they want to graft into the system, the very system that they've seen time and time again, murder babies, murder women, high rates of African deaths in hospitals. We will not break away as we once were when we were segregated. And I'll say this. We were segregated. I think we were better off because we were taking much better care of ourselves. We weren't eating everything and anything. We weren't going out buying Skippy. We skipped Skippy.
Well, you have certainly presented a picture. And if you just repeat the name of the book of Chairman O'Malley Yeshitele.
It's called One Africa, One Nation. And it's a book by the chairman, O'Malley Yeshitele. You can go to Burning Spear Marketplace .org, and you can then go to donate. You can go to the marketplace, and you can purchase this book online.
Well, thank you so much for that, because it's very educational. But if you want to get education in a big splash of Super Bowl Sunday, where was any mention of Colin Kaepernick? There, and it says it all. It's, we don't even mention his name. And anybody who tells the truth can find themselves in that position, and it's lost in our minds and in our souls. I didn't turn that nonsense on because there were too many issues that were real. But I could go on, but we have our intellectual, our activist of a long time who was on the show for a while. The mic, we're getting echoed.
Before we go to Joel, I want to ask Susan, Joel, you're on. If she can make some more comments to any of the speakers. Hold on just a moment, Joel. Before we open Joel's mic, Susan, did you want to react to any of the comments that have been made so far? And do you want to give a further breakdown of what you mean by the bogus term decriminalization of marijuana?
Absolutely. Thank you. I'd love to react to the last speaker, who talked about unite. And then Ralph talked about educate. That's exactly what we're attempting to do March 2nd at 7 p.m. Central on our webinar, Inequities in Legalized Marijuana. I'm in Missouri, and we have, in 2018, we legalized medical marijuana, and we've reached $200 million in revenue. Now, currently, we have 20,000 people incarcerated for nonviolent drug offenses, mostly marijuana, in the state of Missouri. So when you guys say political prisoners, would you consider these people political prisoners for something that is now legal? They're still serving sentences of incarceration. And also, too, you talked about joining together. I understand from Illinois and their recreational activism that they say it's very important to get the clergy on the side of legalized marijuana, because there are large populations of people leaving the ranks of incarceration that need the support of the community. That's another opportunity to unite. So the things that they're incarcerated for are no longer illegal. So, but they still have the demonization, the stigmatization, the stigma of being a felon. Okay, so these are two things that we can unite over and educate on. Something we're trying to do in the Midwest. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for that. But we must always be aware that political prisoners are those folks who stepped out politically to do something to support all of us and to bring down this capitalist system. And there are victims of a political system. There are prisoners as victims of a political system. And we must differentiate and we must support both of these categories of victims. But let us keep it separate in terms of our analysis and how we support people. Sister Betty.
All right. We promised to go to Brother Joel, and I want to open up his mic again, and I thank him for his... Joel, your mic's open.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Ralph and Betty and all the guests. And it's, again, a very high-level discussion that is not found in many places. There's been a great deal of receding over the last time period as people speaking out and acting out and taking to the streets and creating the kind of change that people need if we're going to survive much longer, because either our disorganization or misorganization under this system that trails nothing but the almighty dollar and that class which has the most of them around the world, this system is going to kill us. It's ignoring or, in most cases, exacerbating all of the life-threatening problems and preventing people from organizing to reorganizing the world so that these problems can finally be mastered and attenuated, that people can live out their lives healthy and many years. Right now, over the last 2 years in the United States, the lifespan has actually gone down. So that longevity as a measure of health has not been getting better. It's been getting worse. And not all of that is just the COVID thing. It's also a lot of other the fact that the health system has been hit by COVID. One of the reactions, and maybe one of the deliberate parts of utilization of the COVID pandemic by the rulers, is to lower the lifespan generally. Certainly, it's an attack on the lives of the population around the world, but there are many different phases of it. And one of those is that many of the hospitals they claim that they're so hit hard by COVID that people that have medical conditions that can't wait are kept out and are like an excuse to slow down the entire healthcare and health survival system. And that's apparently one of the goals, to decrease the population and to cull the population in those sectors that gets decreased. Now, I just wanted to comment on one of the remarks made before about 1877 in Louisiana. And that's a thing that people who believe in self-defense of oppressed people, who believe in organizing and in revolution, that was the first year that the United States Supreme Court compromised the Second Amendment. And many people think, oh, the Second Amendment, that's a right-wing issue. That's white supremacists and everything. But the far right and the racist right is more heavily armed than ever. But this thing in 1877, when the counter-reconstruction began to set in, there was an incident in Tickleish Town where black people had been voting, and some people came to the voting place, and the sheriff was standing in the door with some deputies, and of course they were armed, and they said, sorry, you're not going to be allowed to vote, when some of the black workers showed up. So at that time also, there was a, during the Reconstruction, the black community was also somewhat heavily armed in its own self-defense. At least it was the kind of thing where everyone, including black families, had shotguns throughout the South. So this family that had come to vote in and turned away, went back home and came back with their shotguns. And they said, what do you think you're doing? So we're coming in there and we're voting. And apparently the sheriff thought it better to step aside, and they got to vote. The next year they passed an ordinance saying that you could not have any kind of firearms, including shotguns, rifles, whatever else, without a permit. And, of course, the permits were for white only. And that was one of the beginning phases of the counter-reconstruction. And it continues to
be a very important issue. And I would like to have you come back next week and give us the full story there, because it is of extreme importance when we talk about the Second Amendment. And I think we're going to have a longtime friend who hasn't been around for a while, but to take us home, Gwen Goodwin.
Before we do that, we're going to hear a little poetry, and then we're going to go to Gwen. And Zinga, your mic is open.
Okay. I just want to say compliment Brother Louis. I loved his poem, and Brother Dennis. He always just moves me in such a way. And I just want to say real quick, I tried to get a group of people, Brother Ralph and Sister Davis, to get together, stop shopping at Bloomingdale's, Macy's, all of those stores, just for 30 days. But unfortunately, they couldn't do it. So the title, and so that goes in the line with Brother Dennis is saying, we got to stop patronizing these people. We got to make them feel it. They only understand dollars and cents. That's where we got to hit them. Is the promise true? The games you play, the way you deceive, your blood-sucking maneuvers and evil tendencies, the way you mask and disguise the truth with your lies. Still can't believe nor quite conceive why you still think that we would ever believe anything you say on any given day, because your entire MO is to lie, steal, and cheat. Devil is really what you are, not even an angel in disguise. We don't have to go very far if we want to see the damage you cause, because it's stamped in our scars through mass incarceration, war, and poverty, things your capitalism brings. I never believed anything you say would ever be true when everything you display is so far from the truth, all to mask your hidden agenda to keep us oppressed from now to forever. But your time's almost up, and you know it's true. So you try everything to sustain your oppressive rule by reversing every right. We fought and died to receive. Go as far to create laws to obliterate our history. So it's clear that all along, the promise wasn't true, and it's time to band together and push them aside. Take back what is ours and accept no compromise. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Everybody said it's so pertinent. Thank you, Sister Betty and Brother Rock.
Well, thank you, Gwen. Are you still there? Gwen Goodwin, your microphone is open. Hello?
Let me try and get her back.
We want to thank Sister Susan for getting on. And if she'd like to make one more comment about the event, what's the date?
The date is March 2nd at 7 p.m. That's Wednesday, March 2nd at 7 p.m. Central. I'll send you a flyer for the to be published on you to share. Thank you.
Okay. In addition to that, we want you to know that there's going to be a demonstration against the war, and we're hoping that you will join the event. It's going to be Saturday, this coming Saturday at 3 p.m., and it's going to be at the Grand Central Terminal Park Avenue. We've got to stop NATO's war with Russia in the Ukraine. Once again, we hope you will listen to our closing music and
join us
tomorrow night on WBAI at 8 p.m. That's 7 p.m. Central Time.
See you tomorrow night and see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in and helping us educate ourselves together. Good night.
They never cut it off exactly on the time. Okay?